I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 15, please. Luke 15. I have another message that I want to do on the series I've been doing about the Christian and the law, but I interrupt that for Father's Day today. And we'll speak about the father of the prodigal this morning. But before we read the passage here in Luke 15, top 10 things that fathers say. Yes, I know where I'm going. And this is three variations of one. Don't make me stop the car. Don't make me come in there. And don't make me get up from this chair. Next is, I'll be there in a minute. Four, stop crying. It doesn't hurt that bad. Number five, when I was your age. Number six, the answer is no, so don't ask. Number seven, no, we're not there yet. Number eight, do I look like I'm made of money? Number nine, if you don't stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about. How many of you said that? Nobody's owning up to it. And last, and this is probably number one, go ask your mother. Luke chapter 15, let's begin in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. You know, there's some parables in the Bible, and not all of the parables. I think some of the parables are based upon a true account. Not all of them. But I think this is actually a true account. I don't think this is a made-up story that the Lord's using to get a point across. I think there's a certain man, an individual that he's got in mind as he's telling the story. So this is real. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, I've preached from this passage a number of different times in the past, but I want to come to it again this morning and look at some things here. And oftentimes, of course, it's the prodigal that is the focus of attention in this story, but I want to look at the father this morning. We'll consider the sons as well, but primarily the father. And what an example this passage is of not only a father's love for his children, but of our father's love for us, as sinners. And that's probably one of the main points, I think, of this passage as Jesus Christ tells it, but that's not our main point this morning. We look at about a father. And first I want to consider the father's sons in this passage. Think about this. Two different boys. Two very different boys. One is self-centered and feeling entitled and living only for the moment. Probably got some kids in here that fall into that category a little bit. And the other one is stubborn and self-righteous and uncaring. But the thing is, these two boys, though so different, grew up in the same house. Grew up with the same father. And you look at that thing and you think, how could there be such a difference there between these two kids? When the environment that they came up in was the same. And that's just the way it is. We're all different. And these two kids are different. And I don't think the fault in this lies with the father. It's not real clear, but my take is looking at this thing and reading what's said here, this father did what he was supposed to do as a father. And in spite of his best efforts, these two boys both have their problems in life. And you know what, Christians, with our children, yeah, we all mess up. We all make mistakes. I mean, I've made more than my share of mistakes with my children. But in spite of that, and in spite of all the things that we do, sometimes the kids just choose something different. And that's what's going on here, I believe. This father, I think, has done everything that he could, but they choose wrong. The two sons. Let's look now at this father's duty and think about this. And go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Solomon is writing this passage at the end of his life, and he looks back and he had his own problems. But he seems to have a coming to at the end of his life. He concludes this entire chapter, or the last chapter, he concludes this with this statement. Remember now, verse 1, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Go down to verse 13, the end of the chapter. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I believe that this father in Luke chapter 15 took this admonition to heart. I believe that he did everything possible that he could to teach and to train his sons and how they ought to live and what they ought to do. But they still made their own choices. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons. See, that's going on to the grandkids. All the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So the admonition is first to the individual. I'm to take to heart the Word of God, to apply it in my life, to understand it, to study it, to know what God expects and desires of me. But then he says in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. That's a responsibility of a father, to teach our children. He goes on here, he says, and thou shalt talk of them. So I'm not only to teach, but I'm supposed to continually talking about these things. The things of God, the things that pertain to God. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My mom was Catholic, my dad was an alcoholic. I didn't have any scripture coming up as a child. But Christian, we've got a responsibility. We've got to pass it on to them. He says to do it diligently, to teach them, to talk of them. He says, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and in thy gates. Keep it before them always. You know, I have tried to plan some things at times as a family, and try to plan some teaching moments for my kids. And you know what? Usually those things fall apart. But you know what I found? Sometimes the most effective times of teaching aren't planned. And what we've got to do is be sensitive to that and use those opportunities to the fullest. You know, we're going to all have devotions. We sit around and when we finally get everybody to sit down, and then after the last person has gotten up to go to the bathroom or get a drink or whatever the case may be, everybody's so frustrated, nobody's even listening or paying attention. But there's those unplanned moments when the heart's open and receptive. And that's the most, I think, the most effective time of teaching. We need to be ready for that. And you know what? Sometimes that happens at the most unopportune time, too. But he says to teach them, verse 7, diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Be ready always. That's a father's duty. That's a father's responsibility. And I would go a step further. There's something specific that I think that is needed, and that is to teach our kids not only about God, but teach our kids how to work. That's sadly lacking today. If you're involved with dealing with other people, I mean, one of the most frustrating things employers have is finding somebody that's willing to do a job and not just collect a paycheck. We need to teach our kids to work. Look at Luke chapter 15. Let's read verses 14 to 19 again. And all that this prodigal did that was wrong, I think that it shows that this father at least established in him in this work ethic. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and they began to be in want. So the money's all gone, and times are getting really, really tough, and he's hungry. It says, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into his fields to feed swine. He wasn't looking for a government handout. He wasn't expecting somebody else to give him something. He said, well, got to go to work. And he did. All that we can find wrong with the prodigal, this dad instilled something in him that helped him in this time of need. He went to work. He found somebody that would hire him, and he went to work for him. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Now that's not the common thinking in America today. The common thinking in America today is winning the lottery or some other get-rich-quick scheme or sudden income, unexpected income. No. God says, the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Chapter 14, verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. There's profit in labor. And that young man at least understood that. In chapter 28 of Proverbs in verse 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. And that second is what America, the philosophy that America has adopted. Just following some scheme or some plan or hoping to get some great windfall instead of just going to work. And you may not be a Donald Trump, but you'll have food to eat and a home over your head and something that you can look back on. This father taught his children that that was his duty. Thirdly, I want you to see this, the father's struggle. Look at verses 11 to 13 again of Luke chapter 15. He said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of my goods that falleth to me. And he divided to him his living. That which this father had worked all his lifetime for. His living. That which he had invested his blood, his sweat, and his tears in. And he divided it and gave a portion to this boy. That which was this boy's eventually. He had worked, he had given his life to something, and he could look back on it and all the years of his life, there's what I've done. There's what I've accomplished in my life. Whether it be a farm or a business or whatever the case may be. And now he takes that and he divides it and gives a portion of that, the rightful portion this son deserves, and he gives it to him. That'd be tough, wouldn't it? Because this father knows this boy. This father knows what this boy is going to do. Waste it. And yet he still gave it to him. Because it was his. That's what it was for. You know, parents, sometimes we face some tough decisions. And sometimes it's not what we want to do, but we know what we ought to do it. And sometimes we know if we do it, it's not going to turn out the way we want it to do, to turn out. But he still did it. That's rough. But he had to do this. It was his responsibility. This father is letting go of the things that he cannot control. You know what? A wise parent prepares themselves for letting go of their kids. We can do all that we want. We can train them properly. We can give them, memorize the scriptures with them and give them all the right teachings and give them all the opportunities that are available to them and make everything as good as we can for them. But at some point, that child must make a choice. And that choice may not always be the choice that we would want that child to make. But it's not our choice to make for them. And parent, you need to prepare to let them go, even if it's the wrong direction. To let them learn the lesson that they've set their head on learning. Even though it's going to cost not only them, but it's going to cost you. That's tough. But it's right. It's what that father did. He loved them enough to show them the right way, but then to say, it's not what I do. It's not what I want. But it's your choice to make. You can't make up their minds for them. And this father stands there after dividing his living and giving that son his portion. And he watches that boy go skipping merrily on his way out the house and down the lane. Happy as can be. I'm free! No, you're not, son. But you'll find out. But it's the only way you're going to learn the lesson. Because he was only going to make things miserable at home and disturb the entire home. Got to let him go. He's happy, chasing after that rainbow, only not to realize that the pot at the end of it is empty. But there's the only way he's going to find out, the only way it's going to be proven to him is the hard way. And he lets him go. Parents, there's some things or sometimes when the only thing we can do is to trust God to take care of it. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. This is an example, but so is Solomon. Think about that. Solomon, this raised by the greatest king that the nation of Israel ever had, King David. The man after God's own heart. And David wasn't perfect by any means. But David tried to raise his son right, and he taught him. And Solomon got to that age where he got control of the kingdom, and then he started making his own choices. And then he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes at the end as he looked back on his own life. said, man, what a fool I have been. I gave my life to vanity, to just whatever satisfied me, I went after it. I took it. I had it. I did it. And how empty it has left me. But at the end, Solomon says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He came back. And parents, there are some things that only God can do. And by our trying to keep our nose in it and trying to control the situation, we're only messing it up. And sometimes we're just prolonging the lesson being learned, or delaying the lesson being learned, I should say. Enabling the bad behavior instead of letting them get out there and fall on their face where they got just God to call on. Lord, help. But they had to get down there before they would look up. And this father understood that. He says, God, I've done my best. I can't do any more. And I give him what's his, and I watch him leave. Let God work on his heart. Let God change him, transform him. You know, the Holy Ghost is the greatest force in the world, in the universe, in all of existence. We need to let the Holy Ghost do His work in the hearts of our kids. Next, I want you to see this, the Father's love. Verse 20, Luke chapter 15 and verse 20. The Son's come to Himself, and it says, and He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off. And that father never gave up on this kid. I'm reading into this, but I don't think I'm doing injustice to it by saying that I think the father prayed for that boy every day he was gone. And he's watching that lane. And he's waiting every day so that one day, a great way off, long in the distance, he sees something. He says, there he is. He's coming back. And he ran to him. His father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the boy begins to repent, and the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You need to wait for the repentance sometimes, parents. It's important. That confession and repentance is important. But think about this. What's the condition of the father's heart? Scarred, but still touchable. Aching, but still caring. Rejected, but not resentful. Compassionate and not vengeful. He ran to the boy. This kid that's been feeding pigs, that's been so hungry he's ready to eat the slop that the pigs are eating. I don't think he's the most pleasant sight or the pleasant smelling. Filthy, stinky, and yet the father runs to him and grabs him and says, and fell on his neck. because none of that mattered. Get those filthy clothes off of him and put the best robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. I'm going to fix you up, son. He's not completely restored because his portion is gone. But he's still got a roof over his head and a father that loves him and cares for him. Amen. Parents, we've got an awful responsibility, a difficult responsibility. Man, there's choices we make as parents, and sometimes you wonder, am I doing the right thing? We have to have the courage to make those choices. Even sometimes when you think it might be wrong, you do the best you can. You pray about it, you seek God's wisdom, and then you leave it in God's hands. Because only God can work in their hearts. And God can work on their hearts. Amen. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, some of us have children who are grown, and we do at times struggle with the choices that they make. God, if we've failed as parents, then we need to try to make things right with those children. To do our own confession and repentance. And God, if there's a need on the part of some parents here to go to some kids and to make that confession, may we swallow our foolish pride and do just that. In spite of whatever mocking and ridicule that we might receive from those kids. To be right in your sight and to allow you to work in the hearts of those kids. God, many of our people have young children at home still. And they're struggling with the raising of these kids and even with some fears in the back of their minds as they see mistakes that others have made and the trials that others have gone through because of that. God, may you give those parents courage, comfort their hearts. And God, may you work in the kids' hearts as well. Lord, help the kids here to understand that even though their parents frustrate the devil out of them sometimes, make them so mad they could spit, we still love you. And we do want what's best for each of you. God, help our kids to be understanding, to be receptive to the teaching that we're trying to give them, the lessons that we're trying to establish in their hearts that will help them in the future. And oh God, guide us as parents to raise up a godly seed unto you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.